Oh, you guys, I have been so excited to do this episode for a long time. I have talked about it, I've referenced it, but today we are going to talk about condemnation versus conviction. This is a question I get asked all the time. How do I know if God is convicting me of something or if I am just being plagued by thoughts that are from the enemy and I'm being condemned? This is a really important distinction for us to make as women of God. And today we are going to talk about it. We're going to share all kinds of scriptures and I hope give you a new freedom in understanding this really important aspect of our faith. So let's get started.
Welcome to the Vibrant Christian Living Podcast. I am your host, Alicia Michelle, Bible teacher and life coach, and I help Christian women like you rediscover joy and find balance through a renewed mind and a life-changing connection with Christ. Friend, I am so glad that you are here. So find a cozy spot and let's get started on today's episode.
Hello and welcome back to the Vibrant Christian Living Podcast. I am your host, Alicia Michelle. We are talking specifically about a really important topic regarding our faith and understanding God and the Holy Spirit today. And I am super excited to jump into it because, again, it's something that women ask me about all the time. And it's something that is not always easy to figure out. But I'm hoping that at the end of our discussion today, you will feel a new confidence in understanding this difference between these two really important topics of conviction versus condemnation. So what do I mean by conviction versus condemnation? We'll be explaining that in detail, but basically I want you to have the power to understand when it is the Lord correcting you and when you are being hurt basically by the lies of the enemy and how he is trying to hurt you and cut you down as a child of God. So sometimes they can really get cloudy and murky when we're trying to understand them. So I want to give you some very specific examples of how we see this conviction in scripture, how Jesus shows us that conviction and how we can distinguish it in our own minds. And this is really important because we need to be growing in our faith all the time, right? This obedience in Christ is how we grow deeper to him. This is just the bottom line. I was telling the ladies in the Connected Bible community that every single issue that we create in the magazine, I am struck over and over again as we talk about these issues of like, I'm accepted, I'm chosen, I'm grateful, I'm peaceful, I am hopeful, all of those things. To get to those fruits of being peaceful, hopeful, joyful, we have to start first by coming to an understanding of obedience and following God. It just starts there. And so I told them I feel like a broken record because as we look at these verses, it's like, start with obedience, start with obedience. And so that's important as a follower of Christ to be able to obey him. And the main way that he speaks through us is through his word, as we talked about a few weeks ago, when we talked about hearing God's voice. And yet sometimes we also feel that pinch in our spirit. Sometimes it feels like some people have heard the audible voice of God. I personally have not, but I can hear almost as if like a whisper in my ear, just this either a word or some sort of a truth that is correcting me. And we'll talk about that. And when is it correction towards being something that we need to grow closer to God in obedience? And when is it something that it's the enemy trying to steal us from freedom? And that's so important because we know that our enemy prowls around like a lion seeking to destroy us, that there is all a plan that he has made against us. But praise God that we know that the plans of the Lord are greater and stronger than anything the enemy has against us. At the same time, we need to be aware of his schemes and we need to be able to detect when he may be trying to pull us away from God, because God's love is consistent. God's care for us is consistent. The way that we get away from it is when we step away, right? God's character for us does never changes, but our emotions go up and down and our thoughts change all the time. So we have to be careful in monitoring our thoughts. And although we can't talk about it a whole bunch here, you guys know I'm passionate about talking about our thoughts and how they really are the basis for everything that happens for us and to us in terms of how we process things. So a lot of this conviction or condemnation, both of those things can happen inside of our two ears, for you, right? Inside of our head. And we need to be able to distinguish between the two. And also, this is one of those spiritual understandings that isn't always talked about because it's something that happens inside of us. It's not an outward thing that's happening. It's something we have to discern inside ourselves and take control of. And in order to live this vibrant life, we need to understand the difference between these things. So again, like we can step into obedience or we can identify the evil that is trying to be inflicted on us or even just by our own sin and our own will. The question that we're trying to answer today is this: are the thoughts that we might think or the feeling that we might have in that moment, are they of God or are they the thoughts of the enemy? So is this conviction, meaning it's from God and it's good and it's holy, or is it condemnation, meaning it's from the enemy and meant to tear us down? So as we're describing the difference between the two of these, I'm going to be sharing some scriptures and some stories. But first, let's just get with a working basic definition of conviction versus condemnation. Conviction is good. It is that ability for the Lord to correct us, to get back in line with what he wants us to do in a given situation, with an attitude. It is a loving correction, kind of like a parent. If you are a parent, you understand when we have to lovingly correct our children because we don't want them to get hurt. We don't want them to deal with something down the road that we can see. So we're trying to lovingly help them back. And that is good. We need that kind of guidance. This is a powerful way for the Lord to give us wisdom because we don't always get it right. Let's just be real. We aren't always easy to change. The Lord has to give us conviction and we need to be quick to obey, as the word says. The other side of that is condemnation. And condemnation is this feeling of recognizing that there's a wrong, but it is a feeling that is meant to continue to rub our nose in it, to continue to hurt us. It is usually filled with other feelings of inadequacy or reminders of our past. So something that can be a conviction, start off as conviction, can quickly morph into condemnation if we're not careful. And that's when the enemy can come in and take that foothold of this good conviction that God is doing. And God can offer us this, like, I'm trying to help you, but we can let our own negative thoughts, we can let the enemy speak into our head to get it so it's twisted out. So we're going to help you walk through that today to understand the difference and give you some tools to be able to understand that. So first, let me share a scripture here that is a great example of that, the difference between the two, how God deals with us versus how the enemy deals with us. In John 10, chapters 1 to 16, Jesus explains the difference between the shepherd who gently guides his sheep and the wolves who break into the sheepfold by sharing the intention of the shepherd and the wolves, right? For our purposes here, the base of this passage is John 10, verses 9 to 10. And Jesus is speaking in these passages, and he says, yes, I am the gate. Those who come in through me will be saved. They will come and they will go freely, and they will find good pastures. The thief's purpose is to steal and to kill and to destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. So we see a contrast straight away between the thief and between the good shepherd, which is Jesus. His purpose and all that he does for us is to give us a rich and satisfying life. He wants us to come and go freely with peace. He wants to give us good things. He wants to give us good pastures. He wants to save us, of course, and protect us within the sheepfold. The thief's purpose, because he's not as powerful as the shepherd himself, so he has to find secret ways to take us away from God, right? He has to try to climb in over the side and steal and kill and destroy. So two different intentions, right? The sheep, the thief can come in as pretending to be a wolf in sheep's clothing, as we have that famous phrase. But in essence, we know that his intention is completely different. And so how can we tell the difference between those two? And sometimes, you know, when we talk about the topic of conviction versus condemnation, the issue of guilt comes up. And so guilt could be something just literally condemning us, something the enemy reminding us of our past, or even our own thoughts that we've allowed to develop, reminding us of the things that we're doing wrong. It also could be, like we said a second ago, about it morphing from good conviction being an opportunity for us to change. And God is telling us, hey, this is something that I really encourage you to think differently about, and let me give you a different way. And then the enemy comes in and says, yeah, but you've done that again. You've done that multiple times. You're going to keep doing it. There is no way you can change. So guilt can either be something that's on its own, like just as a reminder of the past things that we've done, or it can be kind of tacked on. It started as something healthy in conviction, but has morphed into something that is now condemnation. So there's a whole process that we can go through of figuring out what those are, the lies that are in our head. And I don't have time to go into that today. That's actually a big part of what we do in coaching, either in group coaching or one-on-one coaching, in the new mindset materials that we have that are coming out in a couple of weeks. There is a group of ladies that we're forming now to work through some of the resources that we're going to be putting out regarding the mind and how to overcome these negative thought patterns, because quite often the condemnation that we feel is a leftover of our own baggage, our own thoughts, and of our own subconscious mind being stuck in these patterns that we can't get out of. Our mind being unable, in a logical prefrontal cortex way, to be able to process it and think about it differently, because we have this blockage that keeps happening in the subconscious mind where it's like, no, this is how it's always been answered. This is how it's always been defined. So I can't even, God's truth can't even sink into that. Right? Have you ever wondered why, you know, you know the truth in your head, but you just can't let it change you or feel you? Well, so often I've found that there are those subconscious thought patterns. And so what we do in coaching is get to the root of those patterns and find out what is causing this, these repeat things to keep showing up, this guilt, this shame, because those are not of the Lord. What is causing those to keep showing up? So if you're interested in that, you can do one of two things. You can go to vibrantchristianliving.com/mind to get on the wait list to be one of the first ladies to work through some of these mindset materials, or you can go to vibrantchristianliving.com/coaching to learn about coaching and to see if one-on-one coaching or what other opportunities we have for coaching that might be available right now to help you work one-on-one with me to manage these mindset issues that are keeping you stuck in guilt and stuck in shame. So let me give you a couple other practical examples of what conviction sounds like in your head and condemnation sounds like, so that we can begin to discern. Because once we get that and understand and hear the voice differently, you know, we can just make a distinction between the two voices. It really does help a whole bunch. And even in that example of the story of the sheep and Jesus being the good shepherd, he says, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. They come out and call, you know, they follow my voice. And so the more that we know God's voice, the more we spend time in his word, the easier it becomes to hear the difference between conviction and condemnation. So let's start first with conviction. Conviction gently draws attention to areas of change. It's gently saying, here are some things that need to happen. And I've found quite often, it's not like God isn't going to show you all of the sin that you have, all of these horrible things that you've done at once, right? He's just gentle. He's kind in it. And he says, this area, right? Let's work on this area right now. So it's usually gentle and soft and paced, maybe is the word I'm looking for. Paced. It's kind of paced in how it happens. And it can be strong, of course, if there's a big thing happening, but it's kind, it's humble yet firm, maybe is a good way to say it too. It also speaks with words that confirm your identity as a daughter of God. That's huge. It speaks to confirm who you are in Christ. It doesn't take that away from you. Like, it doesn't say you will never be forgiven for that. You need to do this and this and this because you're horrible. It is speaking with words that remind you that you can move forward. When I hear the voice of conviction, it is as if it was a loving, caring person saying to me, I love you enough to tell you that this is not good for you, and I want to give you something better. So let me help you. It's this, from Jesus saying, you are my daughter, and I have made you unique. You're wonderfully, beautifully made. You are chosen by me. I've given you hope. I've given you a new life. I've given you purpose. Because of those things, I want to help you step into this purpose in a deeper way. I want to help you know me in a deeper way. So that's what those words that can surround the conviction. The conviction also offers a way out. It's helpful. It says, this is what happened, is what you're doing or what is going on. And what I want you to do instead is this. And it's something that's good. It's something that's uplifting. Usually involves going deeper in Christ in some way, right? Releasing something, just choosing to focus on a certain scripture. Sometimes again, scripture can accompany that. Like this scripture might remind you of the truth where you may have stepped away from that. So it offers a way out. There's hope. It encourages, it inspires on how to make those changes. It says, here's some ideas. It may bring people into your life, or sermons you might hear on the radio, or books you might be reading where it seems like, you know, I'm sure you've had those moments, because I have too, where it's like, okay, God, I hear you. Like all these things are going off at one time. It also offers to walk with you step by step. It offers to say, I understand this is hard, and I want to be there with you as you walk through this. So it offers you the companionship of the Holy Spirit, and it's not abandoning you like you lost, you made a mistake, you're done, goodbye, have fun figuring that one out. That's not how conviction works. And number one, it also draws you closer to God. It brings you closer to Jesus himself and to a walk with Jesus. So quickly, I'm going to go through the opposite of those things in condemnation. So you've seen conviction, you can kind of guess what some of the things are on condemnation, but condemnation points out the faults in an accusatory manner. The tone of the voice of condemnation is harsh, it's rude, it's rough, it's caustic, hurtful, right? It's using words that are blame-centered, shame-centered, guilt-centered. It speaks with words that deny your identity as a daughter of God. And it gives zero hope for change or redemption. It says, this is something you've done wrong, and you're hopeless. You're dumb. You're stupid. Why did you ever think you could do this? What is wrong with you? All of those things that we sometimes hear, that is condemnation. That's not what God says. God always says there's hope. There's always a way out. If you are still breathing, there's still an option available that Jesus believes in you, right? There's always hope. There's always a way out. It doesn't tell you how to change. It just tells you that you're bad, ugly, wrong for that behavior. It kind of rubs your nose in it. It doesn't give you an option. It just tells you you're wrong. And it makes you feel alone. It makes you feel worse than before. And it draws you away from God. It doesn't point you back to God as a way to get through it or to find healing. It just keeps yelling at you, right? So I hope that's helpful in what that looks like. And so I want to give you an example of the loving conviction of God and how it's rooted in kindness and love instead of harshness. I'm going to just go through this quickly because I want you to read this on your own if you want to. This is the story of John 8, the story of a woman caught in adultery. And I'm going to start in verse 3. Of chapter 8, it says, as he was speaking, the teachers of religious law and the Pharisees brought a woman who had been caught in the act of adultery. They put her in front of the crowd. Teacher, they said to Jesus, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. The law of Moses says to stone her. What do you say? Well, they were trying to trap him into saying something they could use against him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote in the dust with his finger. They kept demanding an answer. So he stood up again and said, all right, but let the one who has never sinned throw the first stone. Then he stooped down again and wrote in the dust. And when the accusers heard this, they slipped away one by one, beginning with the oldest, until only Jesus was left in the middle of the crowd with the woman. Then Jesus stood up again and said, where are your accusers? Didn't even one of them condemn you? No, Lord, she said. And Jesus said, neither do I. Go and sin no more. This is the classic example for me of conviction in action. Jesus is even being baited by the crowd to yell at this woman, to condemn her. Now, is it wrong what she did? Absolutely. Does Jesus, as the Son of God and God incarnate, have the ability to rain fire down on her at that moment? Of course he does. Is he unhappy with the sin that she's done? Yes. But what is his response to her? First of all, he doesn't follow the crowd and their desire to attack him. He encourages them to remember that they have sinned as well. And I've always been curious to see what he writes in the dust there. I'm curious to ask him that when I get to heaven. What did you write in the dust there? But his response to her is, go and sin no more. Go and choose a different way to live. Go and choose a different way. Because she saw that it was a mistake that she'd made. And he says, choose differently next time. Another great example of that is this the story in Luke 18, it's also in Mark 10 and Matthew 19, and it's the story of a religious leader who asks him, what do I need to do to inherit eternal life? And so I'm going to read the story here in Mark. The rich man is the story that is sometimes called. So it's Mark 10, verse 17. And it says, as Jesus was starting out on his way to Jerusalem, a man came running up to him. He knelt down and he said, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus asked. Only God is truly good. But to answer your question, you know the commandments. You must not murder. You must not commit adultery. You must not steal. You must not testify falsely. You must not cheat anyone. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, the man replied, I've obeyed all these commandments since I was young. Looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. Now that's key. Remember that. He says, there is still one thing you haven't done. He told him, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell and he went away sad, for he had many possessions. So this is the conviction happening. Jesus is saying, you have been saved. You have obeyed my commands. You've recognized me as God. But there's one thing that if you want to grow deeper in that faith, go and sell all your possessions and give the money to the poor. And this was because this money had a control over this man. And you'll have treasure in heaven and then come follow me. So Jesus offers that as a way to go deeper and to say, let go of this stronghold in your life. And the man, at least in this situation, we don't know how he eventually responded, but he went away sad, for he had many possessions and he was not quite sure, right? If he was ready to go to that next level with God. But just, I want you to hear, first of all, that how Jesus says, your salvation is intact, right? I want to help you go deeper. And also when in verse 21, looking at the man, Jesus felt genuine love for him. He felt genuine love for him. He knew and he loved this man enough to tell him the truth about what was happening. So I love those stories. So just to give you some steps as a practical way, when you're feeling those thoughts, how can I work through whether it's conviction or condemnation? So let me give you some practical how-to. So step one, it starts with prayer. So stop in the moment if you feel that and simply ask God, is this from you? He may or may not give you an answer, but he promises to answer those who diligently seek him, right? So just stopping, listening, learning, again, thinking about the tone, the things that we have talked about, the difference between how they sound, just listening and deciding, is this from God? And asking him for help in doing that. And then step two, separating the truths from the lies. And so sometimes there is this messy middle of conviction happening, but the condemnation is kind of swooped in there and is clouding the waters a little bit. So first, you know, is there any truth to this? Is there any conviction, truth, true to what you're hearing? And separate that out from what might be from the Holy Spirit and then remove the other part of, well, okay, but how has the enemy or even my own thoughts allowed me to twist that to now add on all this other stuff? That's not of God, right? How can I separate those truths from lies? And so again, that's the step two. But step three is then pinpoint out those negative, destructive aspects. What are the words that are used? Never, always are pretty common. They're accusatory words, they're demeaning. And like we said, the longer we get to know Jesus, the more we spend time in his word, the easier it becomes to understand the difference between his tone and his words and the words of the enemy. And so pinpointing and dividing out what is God and what isn't of God, specifically focusing on the types of words that are used. And then step four, restating any negative, destructive thinking into the truth. What does God say about the situation? What hope does he offer? What do you know about scripture to be true that would help you move closer to God in this situation? Decide if this is conviction, how can you move closer to God? How can you use his hope to transform any guilt that might be attached into freedom? So rewording the negative, destructive thoughts into his life-affirming truths. And these aren't feel-good expressions, right? Meant to mask conviction. It's not like we're going to just ignore conviction because we have to get in front of the Lord and ask him for forgiveness for any areas that we may have sinned and for help in knowing what the next step is for conviction. But if there is that condemnation attached, just rewording what's there into life-affirming statements of what is true about us. And then step five is to let it go and to walk on. And this can be really challenging because we want to hold it all over our heads sometimes, the condemnation, and just keep living in it because maybe it's comfortable. You know, a lot of us who've grown up in negative environments or who are used to this dialogue in our head, it becomes natural and normal. And it's kind of weird to think about love and kindness and these things the Lord offers. We can be free. We can know that we're making these changes and that if we have these thoughts of guilt and shame come in, that we can release them. And God's word says that when he sets us free, we're free indeed. And so I'll give some scriptures here that reference some of these truths in the show notes. So you can check those out too. vibrantchristianliving.com/episode-111. And then lastly, just to live on a steady diet of God's word, that God can speak to us through prayer. He can speak through us to an impression in our heart, but these words are always, always going to line up with scripture. They're always going to be affirmation of what God has already said about us in scripture. And so regular time in his word is just simply crucial for maintaining this healthy mental relationship with God and for discerning the difference between conviction and condemnation. I want to encourage you to practice some of these things as you go throughout your day to just be aware. Being aware is a huge part of this, right? Being aware of what's going on in our heads, and so that we can use the power of conviction to grow closer to God. And as daughters of God, to say that condemnation doesn't belong here. I am a princess. I am a daughter of God. How dare you say those things about me? And I refuse to believe them. We have that power in Jesus Christ. And so we need to be able to stand on that power. If you want to practice and be reaffirmed of the truths of God, his love for you, I want to highly recommend a study that I've created called I Am Loved. It's a 4-week Bible study. It's actually the first month that we do in the Connected Bible community, but we've pulled it out as a separate study because it's that important for, I believe, for women to understand God's love for them, because that really does change absolutely everything about us when we understand the deep love that God has for us. So understanding his love for us and knowing that promise and our heart having it solid is a great step toward being able to understand his voice and the difference between conviction and condemnation. So you can find that at vibrantchristianliving.com/I-M-loved. So I am loved. I hope this was helpful. Sometimes it's really important for us to just get down to these basic Bible principles so that we can stand strong in our faith. And so let me know if you struggle with this and if you've put some of these things into practice. I would love to hear how it's been working for you and the victories that you're having. And just friend, I am praying for you as you go through the rest of this week and look forward to our next time to chat together. Have a great rest of your day. Bye-bye.